Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this tribe-blessing of Call the Light, leading back to the source. This is a program centered on the nature of consciousness and life continuum as revealed through near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences. Topics range from what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communication, living interdimensionally and seeing multi-sensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature stellar roster special guests as experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs and related topics. To find out more about the many services, support, and resources that we offer through our organization Toward the Light, please visit our website, towardthelight.org, and our media site, towardthelight.info. This week, I'm very pleased to have a special guest who is the author of a beautiful book called Be Grateful for the Shade. Let us welcome to Toward the Light, Molly R. Harris. Hello, Molly. How are you?
I'm fine, Joyce. How are you doing? Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's so wonderful to have you as a guest on Toward the Light, and I've really been looking forward to speaking with you because we do have a few things in common, as it turns out, and I know that you had, and actually still do have, a very precious kindred spirit soulmate husband who has transitioned to the other side now, and I would like to ask you about your experiences with him, and also we're going to be talking about the after-death communications that you've had with him. Tell us a bit of history about how all of this came about, and tell us a little bit about your husband, how long you were together, and what prompted the writing of your beautiful book.
My husband and I have been married 25 years. Going on 26, because even though he's on the other side, I still feel that we're married. He's my twin soul, soulmate, whatever, you know, wording anybody wants to use. He came down with a diagnosis of cancer in August of 2003, and he went about a year and a half of fighting the cancer, and January of 2005 is when he lost the battle to that and crossed over into the spirit world. My best friend, my husband, and my soulmate, and the book is about my journey of us together, and then his battle with the cancer, and then about my awakening as a result of all that we went through together.
Now, did the awakening happening whilst he was on this side, or did it happen after he transitioned, or was it kind of a combination of the two?
Well, it was probably a combination of the two, but in retrospect, I did not know it at the time. It really flourished after his crossing over and my going through dark nights of the soul, losing my best friend. And so I took a journey to find out where he went and to learn about, you know, where we go after we die, and to know that he was still there and we were still, you know, together. So, yeah, it flourished afterwards. It was probably more subconscious beforehand.
Okay. And when you had this experience, maybe you could tell us how this started. He transitioned, and of course that's very difficult. I went through the same thing with the narcissistic scene exactly 23 years ago. I became widowed, as it were, and yet the communion has never failed to still continue and to be very, very profound. And yet I admit that I've always had the awareness of the truth of the life continuum and the afterlife and communion with souls who are on the other side. So it was very natural for me to have these experiences. But what actually happened to you? Did you seek a medium or some kind of help to tap into this? Or did you start doing research? What were some of the things that you actually got into that enabled you to know that your husband is indeed with you?
Well, prior to my husband getting ill with cancer, I had secretly kind of caught him watching John Edward, which he had never watched those types of shows, and he still crossed him over. And then we kind of started watching it together. So since my husband had opened up to that prior to his illness, I figured that might be the way that he might try to communicate with me. So I started going to a grief chat line online where mediums would come and they'd give, you know, online chat readings. And he came through 3 days after his crossing. And so that really was Pandora's box for me. So it started the whole thing of I went to numerous mediums and he came through. I started reading, you know, just book after book on after death, on religion, and just trying to figure out, you know, where he was, what it's like on the other side. And then in my Dark Nights of the Soul period, where I really did not want to be on this planet without him, I could feel his energy. And I tell people how to do that is if you have somebody that you're really bonded to in the physical now, to be in the same room and close your eyes and just learn how to feel their energy. And we had that closeness here in the physical. And so I kind of felt his energy, and then I felt his thoughts, and not felt his thoughts, but I heard his thoughts in my head. I know some of you know what that means. It's hard to explain. And so that's what propelled me to continue. It seemed like the more I would read, the more I'd want to learn, and that's really how I started.
Well, that's beautiful, and that's what we... You know, a lot of people will refer to that as mind-to-mind communication or telepathy, and actually the multiple near-death experiences I've had and my experiences of being on the other side, everything is telepathic in the other dimensions. And of course, everything is vibrating at a higher frequency when we are on these higher dimensions, and so it is very natural, and indeed that is the means of communication between entities who are on the other side or in other dimensions. But also, that is a very powerful form of communication on this side as well. And as more and more people start to open up to that, then it's going to become a lot more easy. People are going to become more comfortable with it. They're going to stop second-guessing and questioning themselves and their experiences so much. And that's why I think that what you've been through, even though it was painful to lose your husband in the physical form, indeed you have not lost him, because you can't lose him. He's always going to be with you. He is a member of your soul group or soul cluster, and I'm not sure if you've heard those terms or not. Perhaps you have, but the beautiful thing of it is that you feel his essence with you, and indeed, he is with you when you pick up on him in that way. And in fact, last week it was wonderful. This is such a beautiful segue leading up to this week's show with you. Because last week I had Bill Guggenheim on my show. He and his former wife, Judy, are the authors of Hello from Heaven, which is about after-death communication. And we didn't even have a chance to cover half of the different ways that people can communicate with us from the other side. But I'm sure that you've had a lot of these experiences, and I would like to ask you if you'd like to share some of the experiences you've had with your husband directly, your own experiences that you perceived was your husband speaking with you, communicating with you? Would you like to share some of that with us, Molly?
Yes, I would. I communicate with my husband, like as you said, telepathically most of the time. I find myself talking to him in grocery stores and stuff. It's really odd, but and he'll joke with me and everything, and it's almost as if he's really here. We just don't have that physical type of relationship. Prior to his crossing over, when he was still coherent, I asked him about our relationship, and as I say in the book, he told me that we will continue our relationship just in a different way. And he is trying to learn on the other side how to communicate with me, as I am trying to learn how to receive his communication. He has sent me numerous signs, with objects. He leaves me things in threes. Three was important to us. He always did things in threes for I love you. And then the main thing, besides me feeling his presence and hearing his thoughts and him, like I'll lose something and he'll tell me where it is in my mind or I'll get a picture of it. I have also, on my property, had communication with his energy in the form of, I don't want to use the word orb, because, which I do in the book, but I believe it's kind of been overused. I've got some wonderful pictures in the book of his energy and other spirit energies that are in the form of moving energies, not just orb. I just know it's him. So those are some of the communications that he continues to learn how to do from his side,
Sure. And you've made a very valid point, and it's wonderful, Molly, because when people do transition from this dimension into other dimensions on the other side, there is indeed an adjustment period and a learning period, especially when one is having to learn how to still communicate to people who are operating on a lower frequency, which we are when we are in this physical form on this plane. And you pointed out so rightly that indeed he is still communicating with you, and he is still with you, even though he no longer possesses the physical form. So what's happened is that he is actually vibrating at a higher frequency, and it is like tuning into a different radio band, the ultra high frequency as opposed to an FM band or a lower frequency, which is the AM band.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an adjustment period there. But I really love talking about this because so many people ask me, because I am a professional medium, about this kind of thing and how we can really lovingly assure people and convince them that all of this stuff is real. There is a marked difference between one's mere imagination and having an after-death communication, or ABC as the acronym is. It's also interesting that you mentioned his appearing sort of like an orb. When I describe myself on the other side, I describe myself as a luminous bubble. That is a word that hasn't been used very often, but it's very similar because it's luminous and it's round and it's very, very beautiful. And everyone on the other side does have very unique blueprint or form, just as we do when we incarnate on the physical plane. And so it becomes easy to recognize. And again, I'm very pleased that you're talking about this, because I know that we've got a number of listeners who do have friends and loved ones who are on the other side. And I've had a number of people lost their spouse or partner and they've been very crushed about it. And at the same time, when I've been able to reassure them by sharing messages from them, could they start to understand, oh, my beloved is still with me. But the important thing is for people to be able to have their own direct experiences of mediums are very, very useful, and I love helping people. But at the same time, it's wonderful to be able to encourage people to trust in and to have their own experiences. So I wanted to ask you, when did you start noticing your own direct experience and communion with your husband, not with the help of a medium? When did this start happening, and what were some of the experiences that you had, Lauren?
Well, some of the experiences, the first experience that I think was a prelude for me was 6 months before my husband crossed over. My mom came to visit him and me specifically to see him because he was very ill. And 2 weeks later, she was in the hospital on life support, and she ended up crossing over. She had an Irish rosary that she had bought in Ireland when she went to visit there. When she went into the hospital, I had went through her things, and I found the Irish rosary, and I would wear it to the hospital because she was on life support, and I would lay it in her hands, and then when I left, I would take it with me. Well, the night that we had to turn off life support for her, I laid the rosary in her hand, and I told her husband that was there to please get the rosary for me that I'd like to have it if something were to happen, because I had to go home to my sick husband. Well, when I left, because we turned off life support, they did not know how long it would take, and so I had to get home to my husband, and so I told her husband I would be back in the morning. Well, she ended up crossing over that night. I told my husband, her husband, you know, to make sure that he had the rosary, and he didn't have it. And this was several weeks later that I asked him, and all of a sudden, this was, without going into the long story, several months later, I found the rosary in our driveway, and we had, he did not have it, the hospital didn't have it, and so that, I believe, was a prelude for me opening up on the miracle of you know, manifestation of physical things.
Wow, so, yes.
I had several instances after Russ was crossing over of physical objects that were just where they shouldn't have been, and I give several instances in my book. And when they happened, I knew, I had the feeling, it was a knowing that it was him who moved it. So those were some of the things besides mediumship that I did. I did go to numerous mediums, and I want to let people know that money does not make the medium. How much you pay the medium does not make the medium. I've been to high price and low price. And I just researched mediums, you know, on the internet, and then went to some of those. So it was a matter of recognizing, I guess, because of what happened to my mom's rosary, recognizing that things can manifest out of place, I guess is the way to put it. And so those were some of the things that happened.
And I also feel that as more and more people hear about some of these things, some of the manifestations are very subtle, and some of them are not subtle at all. And and still, people will tend to question themselves. So I really like to ask people to share some of these things, because I know that more and more people will start to understand that there are so many ways that friends and loved ones can and do communicate with us from the other side, and it's very, very special. And of course, again, as a medium myself, I am very dedicated to helping people, but also part of what I do is give instructions to teach people how to become their own natural mediums, because I do believe and maintain that everyone is a natural medium, especially as children, but we're taught, we're trained out of it, unfortunately. And I'd like to think that now people are going to start to learn how to relax back into their natural state of being receptive and being able to communicate with people who are on the other side, because this is very special. And it also really does help to remove the grief, because you know that your beloved is still with you, and he can do a lot of things to help you and to connect with you in very, very special ways. So I'm very pleased that you are sharing these experiences with us. I do want to ask you, how did you come up with the title, Be Grateful for the Shade?
Well, that was actually my husband came up with that. It was about in July of 2004, and after about 7 months of fighting for his life, we returned home, and we were planning for a bright future. We thought he was going to make it through, and then we had learned that the cancer had returned what he called big time. The doctor said it had really, you know, actually spread throughout his body. So when we heard about that, I began to cry, and I said to my husband, Russ, that I feel like there's a dark cloud hanging over our heads. And with death facing him, his reply was, be grateful for the shade. And that's where the title came from. The strength that he had through the whole ordeal was just beyond words. I just can't believe how courageous and strong he was. But that's where the title came from. So we actually thought it up.
It's beautiful, and I do sense a really strong and joyous spirit in your husband. And his name is Ross, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now, what are some of the things that that these experiences have brought you into as far as your past, your work? And I know you've written this very, very beautiful book, which I know is going to be tremendously helpful to a lot of people. Why don't we give out your website whilst we're talking about this? People can find out more about you and your book and ideally order it from you. Would you like to give out your website to our listeners, Molly?
Yes, I would. Thank you. It's www.mollyrharris.com. And I welcome anybody to just stop by and drop me an email if they need to talk or anything. I wouldn't mind at all sharing which mediums I went to. I believe I know a few really good mediums that in my heart brought through some wonderful things with my husband. And that was just part of the package. Mediums are just part of the package of learning how to communicate, you know, with your loved ones on the other side. I believe that this path that I have taken, and it's been a rough one the last 3.5 years, but my husband and I are in it together. And I believe our path is to help people realize that there is no death. We do not have to let our loved ones go, as I was brought up to believe. We're not, you know, by communicating, I'm not holding him back. I'm not playing with the devil or anything like that. I believe that our job is to help people understand and to awaken to that. And my belief is that once we all start awakening to that, this planet will revert back to what it was originally intended for. And that was for a loving planet where we come and experience in the physical.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I couldn't have said it better myself, really. And that's the whole point of this program, too, is to share the fact that life is eternal. Death is an illusion, and it always has been and always will be. And as we're able to share these different experiences and explaining the fact that, again, we're dealing with energy and different frequencies, and the frequency is what changes when one leaves his or her body behind. And I do think it's interesting. I died of cancer too, Molly, and what was so interesting is that I've been battling her with it, as it were, for quite some time, really. And then I was in a coma for 6 weeks and lost my vital signs on my birthday. But for some reason, I was sent back, experiencing what is referred to as a spontaneous recovery. So it really had nothing to do with the medical establishment at all, but that I had an assignment to share the news that life is indeed eternal. And it's amazing what NDEers have been through, and by no means should any of us have been brought back, but yet we were. And then other people do get to transit and work from the other side. But it's very interesting to note that the love is very, very real. The communication is very, very real. And indeed, what has kind of got me going is when especially the religionists have tried to demonize all of this. And I'm going to admit to the world that I do not believe in a devil. I'm not a Christian. I do not buy that notion of some devil. I know that there are some very, very dark entities who are trying to undo a lot of this goodness, this light, but they're not going to succeed. And so every time something like this happens, and indeed, you know, struggling to share with people who are so set in believing, oh, this is evil. How can being in communion with somebody you love be evil? That's just very, very silly to me. So I'm very excited about people like yourself who've written this book, who are sharing your wonderful experiences and helping to remove the stigma and the demonizing of something that is so natural and so beautiful and so loving.
Yes, I wanted to go ahead. I definitely agree with you. I believe it's more natural than we realize. I believe that part of my path and my husband's path is to help people understand that the spirit orbs and the spirit energies and the spirit world is closer than we realize. I'm writing my next book, and I'm also going to put out a DVD with my video and a lot of my pictures of spirit energies. I call them spirit energies because most of my film, I've captured them actually moving. So, and I've seen them on the digital camera and on the video camera. I believe part of my path is also to help people realize that how close the spirit world is, and that my husband is in a world which is as physical to him as our world is physical to us, and he communicated that back to me, that his world is, in his state of being, is as like I said, it's physical to him. It's, you know, when you hit something, that's what he is. That's the kind of world he's in. Yet he's at a higher vibration, and it's not fair because he can see all I'm doing and I can't see all he's doing. But it's closer than we realize. And I'm like you. I do not believe in a devil. I believe that there are entities and energies that are you know, kind of off the path. And so that's, I believe, part of my job on this planet is to help people. My book, I do not want people to read my book and try to adapt my way. It's there to open their door. You know, it's not there to make them believe everything that I believe. And so it's there to help open the door for them and for hopefully for them to communicate with their loved ones. We do not have to let them go. They've not gone anywhere in the first place. We're not holding them back. And all that we've been programmed to believe. They cannot interfere with our lives. They can only guide us. My husband is learning to be one of my guides. He's one of my protectors. And so I believe that we can communicate with them. I believe it's like you said earlier, it's more natural than we realize.
Oh, it's tremendously natural, and I will validate also what you were saying about being on the other side, since I've been there a few times myself. In fact, when I was on the other side, I had no idea that my body was dead, because death is just, it doesn't exist. It's an afterthought, even if it exists at all. And it is absolutely real. And again, there are different dimensions that people can experience whilst, you know, when they're on the other side. And the other side does consist of multiple dimensions and even sections within each dimension. And so there are going to be different manifestations. But indeed, they do feel physical and solid, for lack of a better word.
Yes.
On the ease of which I was able to move and to create things and to be somewhere just with a thought. Now, another interesting point to make too, because a lot of people, they think that when someone transitions that they go way off into outer space, far and away somewhere, and actually it's got nothing to do with that. It's really about moving at a higher frequency, so someone can be right next to you where you're standing physically, to higher vibrational frequency, so it is not easy to see from the vantage point of the physical plane. Although as people learn more to relax into this, they're going to be able to see a lot more into the other side. And I believe that James Redfield was actually addressing that quite a bit in his book Celestine Prophecy. The veil is thinning, very much so, and also we are being quickened to, even on the physical plane, where we're being made to vibrate at a higher frequency. So it's going to be very easy and very natural to see into other dimensions and not experience this veil or wall that we've been experiencing. So that's the good news.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And as I talk about my book too, I believe with my work with spirit energy, because of the amount that I am getting on video and in photographs, my belief is the veil is thinning. I believe that this world will revert back to what it is and it was designed for, to be a loving planet and to come and experience the physical, and that we will be able to have no death, no sickness, no anything, and we will be able to come and go as we please.
Absolutely.
And that's
absolutely
my belief from what I've been experiencing and researching. I honestly believe that I mean, in the Bible there were people that disappeared and they never found their bodies and things like that. And I believe that's what this planet was originally designed for. I believe that mankind has created death and sickness and all the negative energies.
And that's really as a result of fear, and fear keeps us locked from truth and from love, but it does not exist in love. And that's the beauty of the near-death episode, is because we can experience this. Really what it was for me every time was a reminder of what is real and what is true, and that only love is real, and that all of this other stuff is an illusion. Death is indeed an illusion. And I dare say I feel really strange when someone will still try to argue with me that when our bodies die, that's it, that's the end of the story. And this happened recently. I was talking to a man, and I said, how can you say that when you're sitting next to someone who has died and come back? And I did lose vital signs. There are people who've been in the morgue and have been brought back, you know, so it really is just as you're saying, that we move to a different frequency and we can toggle back and forth, and it is going to become easier and easier all the time. I really did have a strong sense you were working on another book. Would you like to tell us a bit about the book, or is this what's going to include the pictures and what have you?
Well, I have some pictures, and Be Grateful for the Shade. The next book is going to be my research and obviously some more pictures of the spirit energy. and I'm just going to try to create another book that would help people in my same situation to understand where the spirit world is, and things like that. So it's going to be basically about what I've been learning. I'm just kind of put it in layman's terms to help other people, because I've read physics books, I've read, you know, almost any book, metaphysical, spiritual, religious, that I can get my hands on. And so it's going to be a culmination of all that I've learned, plus a lot of photographs. And then the DVD is going to, I hope, kind of complement that, because I've got some incredible stuff on video, too.
Well, that one thing that's very interesting about working digitally, although it's happened on film indeed a lot too, but I think that there's a sensitivity where a lot of higher frequencies can be captured, and it's captured all the time. It's quite something, almost not quite 2 years ago, probably more like a year and a half ago, actually, some people were visiting my house when I was in Connecticut, and it's amazing the different orbs and entities that they were able to capture, both on still film and on video. When I had first arrived there, I, again, being a medium, I was able to see some of the people who were in the old captain's house. I saw the captain, but then I also saw a number of children, and then I later found out that there had been a classroom in that house. So a lot of this stuff was picked up on film, and it was really, really tremendous. And, you know, when so many people are capturing and picking up on the same thing, how can we be making something like that up? It just doesn't happen.
Yes.
So,
no, I agree with today's technology. We are able to capture spirit energy on digital film and on video. I also believe, in combination with that, the veil is thinning, and our consciousness, our vibrational rate as physical beings is raising. So I think it's a combination of everything that's culminating together. I see, you know, I know people say they're dust and everything else, but they move pretty lightning fast for dust particles.
Yes, they surely do. Yeah, they're really, really wonderful, and I find a lot of them very playful, and they're really here to inspire and to help us, and they protect us and do so many things to help. And another interesting thing with me too is that my daughter and I were in two different geographical locations. Now I'm in Virginia Beach, and I'm very pleased to be here. And my daughter is in Boston. And what's interesting is that we'll both simultaneously pick up on her daddy, and then we'll start comparing notes together, and we'll get the same thing, and we'll actually pick up on him the same time. So this is some interesting proof that even though we're in different geographical locations, the telepathy and the communication is not affected by time space. This is something we've spoken of quite a bit on this radio show, when I've had people like Clark Swanson on my show and Dr. Peter Finnick. And Dr. Tim Van Lommo, because we talk about after-death communications a lot. And also I had Dr. Muriel Beauregard on my show recently, and we were talking about his book, The Spiritual Brain, where he is validating the fact that we are souls who have bodies and brains, and the brain is not the source of consciousness. So this kind of communion is not affected by time and space. So, you know, people on different, completely different locations can pick up on a communication coming from the other side. And it's spot on. It all lines up really, really perfectly. And so this is very comforting to both of us, because of course we'll have these experiences where we miss the form, I miss giving him a hug and all of that stuff, but at the same time I feel him around, and he'll inspire a song. They can inspire us in so many, many ways.
Yes, I agree. And I, you know, I'm the same way. I miss my husband physically, but whatever time I have left on this planet, I know what's on the other end of that. So I know there is no death. I know we're eternal, unlimited beings that have kind of been dummied down through generation after generation about who and what we truly are. And I believe that we have more power as spirit and soul than we even realize. And, you know, the veil is thinning as far as I'm concerned, and I believe that it'll be thinning even more. I read physics books quite a bit on other dimensions and hyperspace and wormholes and things like that. And it's amazing that when you get away from the gravity of this Earth, how time is really irrelevant out of space. And so I believe even that is scientific proof that wherever the spirit world dimension is, which I believe it is interactive with our dimension, we just can't see it like we can't see microwaves and radio waves and everything like that. And so that means that scientists are beginning to prove, which I believe in my heart, where the spirit world actually is.
Well, Klaus Swanson is a very good example of someone who's done a tremendous job with this, and he's been on the show a few times. And his book is entitled Synchronized Universe, and he validates all of this, the out-of-body experience, the near-death experience, telepathy, remote viewing, all of this stuff that we're doing interdimensionally. And I'm very grateful for this, too, because... And again, Dr. Muriel Beauregard, he's another physicist or a neuroscientist, he was talking about the difference between the more enlightened scientists and the other scientists who he regards as materialists, which is a very good point because they only focus on the five sensory realm, which actually is quite an illusion when you think about it. A lot of people are finding that there's a huge void in what they've been studying in the scientific realm, and now they're starting to find other things that are proving and validating all of these things we are talking about in the scientific world. So it seems like there's information to feed every mind on every level that is doing and validating all of this, because it is important that the fear and the stigma is removed around death and dying, and also communicating with people who are on the other side as well as people who are on the other side of the planet. Because it's and another good example of that is during 9/11 when my daughter was in Manhattan. The only thing I had to go on was the telepathic communion between us, but she was letting me know that she was all right.
Uh-huh.
So it's really important, you know, as parents, as spouses, as friends, as children, to trust in the telepathy, the communication that happens beyond the conventional means, that it's not just a figment of our imagination, because we're not always going to have telephones available to us. That we have to trust in the telepathic communion that we are having and know that it is absolutely valid and real. Now, I wanted to ask you if this is some of the stuff that you are covering in your new book, too, some of the telepathic experiences that you've been having. Do you include this in your new book?
Yes, I do. Very briefly, I talk about my communication with hearing my husband, you know, hearing him talk to me. And it's just like it's hearing his thoughts, if that makes any sense. It's not hearing his voice. I'm more of a visual person. Like I lost my checkbook one time, and I just saw where it was, and I went there, and it was there. I've lost things. Just like my angels, I ask them to help me, you know, turn left or something. I'm terrible at turning left. And pretty soon there'll be no cars. And so my husband does the same thing. He he talks to me. He jokes with me and teases me. it's really a strange feeling because it's almost like he's still here, but not physically. And I tell people that we have a kind of relationship where he's kind of like off in another world and we have no way to communicate except telepathically. And it's a new thing for me, too, because, you know, I just, in the last 3.5 years, I've learned so much. I still miss him physically, and I still have my bad days where I just say to myself, you know, this is all crazy, I'm going insane, you know. But he seems to be there and he picks me right back up. And so I do continue to experience talking with him and things like that. I mean, we don't get into these, you know, long, drawn-out conversations, but we're trying.
Well, one thing I definitely want to say to you is that you are not crazy or insane, and you never have been. This is so real and so valid, and I'm very pleased to share this with people, too, because it's just, there's nothing crazy about this. We really, really are interdimensional beings, and it brings so much joy to us when we can really start to realize this. Now, one question I wanted to ask you, does your husband appear in your dreams? Do you have dreams about him?
Yes, I do. I have quite a bit. Some are symbolic dreams. The first time that he actually came to me in a dream, after he crossed over, which I'm not sure exact time, but it was within that first year. And in the dream, I was in a boat. We love boats. We love the water. We love going boating. I was in a boat, and he was driving the boat, and I was in the front of the boat. And in the dream, I could feel the boat pounding in the water. We were on a river. And I could even feel the splashing of the mist as the boat hit the water in my face. The colors were just so vibrant, much more than here on Earth. We went down this river, we ended up into this lake, and we were having just a peaceful, wonderful time, and then we ended in the lake, and I floated above the sea, and I just remember the boat in the lake, and the vibrant colors in the lake. I mean, it was so crystal clear, and I woke up, and I know that was in my heart, that was a dream vacation.
Oh, wow, that is absolutely lovely. And as you were describing it, I could actually see it and feel it with you. That's beautiful. And I, again, like to encourage people to pay attention to their dreams, too, because it's a very easy way for people to communicate with us from the other side, because we're a lot more open during the dream state. And even people like Edgar Cayce point out that we do go out of body whilst we are in the dream time. And we have a lot of very powerful experiences in the dream time. So that's wonderful. I wanted to ask you, too, because if I understand correctly, your mom also transitioned. Do you pick up on your mom?
You know, I do. Not as much as my husband, obviously, because the bond is deeper.
Yes.
My mom does come through a lot of times in mediumship readings. She comes through quite a bit. Actually, I have, as all the mediums say, I have a gang of people on the other side. So they all come through, and my husband is obviously always the first one to come through and always the one to kind of monitor everybody. But, yes, she does come through.
And I sense that she was a more contemplative type in a lot of ways. Am I correct about that?
Pardon me?
That I was getting a sense that your mom is more contemplative in a lot of ways.
Yes, uh-huh.
A quiet, thoughtful, one who likes to pray and to focus a lot. And I do feel a lot of love surrounding you, too. And I even sense some children and animals, which is interesting, too. Just in a very, I just get a very happy feeling with these people around you.
Yes.
And they're very supportive of you. I also get a sense that some of them, especially your beloved husband, are helping you with the writing of your book and putting it together.
Oh yes, that is absolutely true. I would write something and I look at it and I say, wow, that's the way he would say it. So he is absolutely, we're still a team. We've always been a team. Like I said, he's my twin soul, my best friend, my husband. For 25 years, we worked together, we played together. We were hardly ever separated, and this is the biggest separation, although there was really no separation. And he's definitely helping me with the book. I mean, he's a smart one that came up with the title, so.
And what's the title of your new book?
I haven't really kind of, I'm still deciding on that, but.
Okay. Well, that's going to be wonderful when that comes out, and I'll be putting your book, Be Grateful for the Shade, on to Toward the Light. Actually, I think I may have already, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful book, and I really want to encourage people to read it. And I think that it's wonderful, too, that, you know, people have had these experiences and just share them, you know, not someone who's a professional writer or speaker or what have you, or physicist, but just someone who's had these wonderful experiences and is sharing them. I think it's going to be very, very meaningful for people to read your book. And again, because of the work that I do, I talk to a lot of people who have had loved ones and friends transition, and so they come to me and they ask about these individuals, and I'm only all too happy to let them know that these people are still very much alive, that they're just in another dimension and operating on another frequency now. And it's very important that they come to understand that they can also have this direct one-on-one communication with them. And that's why it's also good to have some of the different descriptions of the ways that our loved ones can and do communicate with us from the other side. Now, have you ever had experiences, for example, with animals?
I have not really had any direct experiences with animals. I have a lot of animals on the other side, and they're all with my husband, so I know.
Yes.
I know that. But my communication is mainly with him, and as I stated before, it's because of the depth of the bond that we share.
Yes.
And so, but I believe that animals have souls. I believe, you know, that all the animals that I thought were my kids are in the other side. My husband's taking care of them now. But yes,
actually,
I
apologize for not being clear. I was wondering if you experienced your husband communicating to you through an animal.
Oh,
if
I'm
you
sorry.
Might,
through the animal.
Yes, if you sense your husband's presence in an animal, because I know sometimes that can happen as well.
No, I don't. I do not sense his presence in an animal. I believe that he gets the dog and the cat to do things, you know, just by mentally telling them
uh-huh.
stuff. But I do not believe that he's actually become an animal.
Right.
You
know, no,
just
using an animal sometimes to express to communicate something.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very beautiful. I'm so pleased that you had this opportunity to share with us this evening on Toward the Light. Now, do you ever do any talks? Do you give any presentations or workshops?
I just published the book, and I never published anything. I'm new. I'm not a professional lecturer or anything like that. I have not given any talks. I would love to share my story with as many people, only because of the fact that I want to show people what I've experienced and to open people's minds. In today's day and age, one of the things I believe that my path is with these books that I'm writing and with my experiences and my research and my learning is to help people awaken And I have nothing against ghost hunting. I love to do that type of stuff. But I believe that it's been overdone.
Yes.
And I believe that what I am experiencing is real. It's more real, and I think we've taken spirituality kind of in the wrong direction. And I want to help people realize that this is real. It's not a Hollywood portrayal of ghosts. My spirit energy photos are not ghosts. They're spirit energy. And I believe that's part of my past. And I, you know, I've not lectured or anything. I've done a few radio shows, but, and I'm kind of a novice at this, so I still get nervous and everything. But I really want to help people open themselves up and realize that, you know, number one, we do not have to let our loved ones go.
Well, that's a lot of the work that we're doing, too. You know, unfortunately, a number of things have become too much of a cliche. Unfortunately, like, for example, unconditional love, and yet when we are talking about unconditional love, we are talking from a place of experience, and there is just nothing like it. And so I still, you know, we're really grappling for words to adequately convey something that is just so ineffable. We can't really use verbiage to describe these incredible experiences that we have. But one thing that is coming to me that I'm seeing you doing is even perhaps having a discussion support group for people who have lost spouses and partners, because I know, just knowing from my own experience, how deeply connected I was and am to mine, you know, and even to other people. For example, my daughter and I have got a very deep soul connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's really important to, something's telling me that if you did that, if you had a discussion support group, that people would really love to participate in that, and they can ask questions and compare notes, and you can share back and forth and that type of thing. That's just a vision that's coming to me that I think people will really, really appreciate that, because, again, you've had such a strong and powerful, beautiful experience, and I think that it really is going to help a lot of people to know about this. And we'll certainly at some point have you back on Toward the Light, because this is such a relevant topic and experience, and I don't think at this point that we can iterate too much that this is absolutely real, and the communion and the connection does continue, that life is indeed eternal. And I really want to thank you for being with us on Toward the Light, Molly. It's been so wonderful. Share with our listeners again, please, your website, and then we will sign off this week.
Thank you, Hewitt, for having me on. I really appreciate it, and spreading the word about all this. My website is mollyrharris.com.
Molly, it's wonderful having you with us, and thank you so much for being with us. I want to remind everyone that it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eyes. This is Reverend Juliet Nightingale reminding you that only love prevails. Next week, we are going to have a wonderful, wonderful spirit speaking with us, Kathy O'Brien. So you'll definitely want to tune in next week for another transmission of Toward the Light, leading back to the soul. Thank you for being with us this week. Love and blessings to all of you.